This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Entering the back half of the show. And Anthony, I think I need to find a snack. I'm hungry. It just hit me.
I got some popcorn.
It's not probably going to help me.
Nah, and it's also white cheddar.
Yeah, that's not gonna help your lactose intolerant host over here. I'll see what we got in the old snack cave after this segment. What are you looking for? You trying to find me food? What else do you have over there? Oh, you're gonna eat your food in front of me.
No, I'm not gonna eat them. These get stuck to my fingers, man, so I can't really eat these until like I'm really off the clock.
Because you'd have to press a lot of buttons.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's an important part of your job. Me being hangry during this segment potentially feels like it could be a bad idea. Could be a great idea. I don't know, Anthony. Let's find out. You want to hit a button?
We tried to warn them. They didn't listen.
Yeah!
Every week, the Hoffman Show goes into the belly of the beast.
We read those comments, baby!
Never read the comments.
All right, we cut up the show into all these different segments. We put them on the internet. You leave comments, we read them. The segments are at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman on YouTube. So we always start with a little palate amuse-bouche, just get you up, get you going, remind you what the internet comment section is like if you're unfamiliar. We played the call from Shane in Oxon Hill earlier this week because it was brought up by another caller. And Shane from Oxon Hill famously had just the worst takes you could possibly have during the offseason about a variety of players, including Olamide Zaccheaus, or as he called him, Olamide Zaccheaus. I don't even think he said Zaccheaus, though. I think he said something else. His pronunciations were so bad. Do you have it up? I know you saved it somewhere we could find it very easily. So if we have to play Shane's call one more time just to refresh everyone's memory, I guess if we have to, we could do that. I mean, we hate doing it. It's just not entertaining at all. There's no real purpose to doing it. Anthony, how much longer do I need to stall for it? Do you know where you put it or not? Okay. Let's play Shane's call.
The guy had 11 touchdowns over the past 2 years. Terry McLaurin has 9. Olamide Zaccheaus had 10 catches last year. Diami Brown had 100 yards last year. Are we a better team without Jahan Dotson? No, we're not. So stop all the baloney, man. We traded Montez Sweat, and now we have Cleveland Furl, who had 2 sacks. And Dante Fowler, who had 2 sacks. We have Austin Eckler, who is 30 years old. Like, come on, bro. Kendall Fuller is in Miami. Curtis Samuel is in Buffalo. Cam Curl is in with the Rams. And we have a guy, Adam Peters, who's bringing in bums. And everybody's like, oh, just because we're bringing in new faces mean we're better.
Yeah, they're better. They're definitely better. But to get us started on Never Read the Comments, Austin says, you guys need to isolate Olamide so Anthony can just drop it in constantly next time that guy calls in. I do think there's a couple things from that. We just need to have a Shane board. Olamide. Diami, who joined us earlier in the radio show. And then Nap the Man says, that's why Adam Peters is an NFL GM and Shane is a couch potato. That's harsh on Shane. He might be an active fella. You never know, Ant. Nothing? All right, thanks for your participation in the show.
Sorry, I was trying to actually cut up.
Olamide Zach.
Oh, you need to cut the Zach.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine, fair enough. All right, let's get to some actual comments, shall we? So there's a theme to today's segment, which is people on the internet thinking they're smarter than experts. And I, of course, we welcome the comments. I just kind of think sometimes people need to take a step back. And instead of going, I know more than this expert, go, what do I not understand that this expert is saying? Because curiosity, fellas, let me help you out. Curiosity, an attractive trait in a human being. The ladies will love that. Whoever you're trying to attract of either sex, if you're a lady, you're a fellow, whatever you're trying to, curiosity, attractive to all. So instead of doing what some of these comments do, I will perhaps make some suggestions. So for instance, that dude Trav says, Washington, this is a response to Take Command, a segment, a podcast that I host with Logan Paulson, who played 10 years in the NFL because he was really smart. Washington was behind in the Bucks, Giants, Cincy, and Arizona games. Every week, there's some scenario, some player, some scheme that Logan says we the biggest challenge, and then we blow past it only to have more of this. What happens if? The Ravens' defense is second to last defending the pass and gives up the seventh most points. Mike McDonald is in Seattle. They have a new DC. What have the Ravens shown this year to make you say they'll present any resistance to our league-leading scoring offense? And why do you want to see him struggle when he's already shown you he and Cliff can play from behind? And if your whole concept of, and like there's some great valid points in there, that, you know, hey, why do you think he would struggle? What have you guys missed? Like, we're not above on Take Command, especially. I'll speak for me and Logan, above some self-reflection, and to go, hey, what is it that we missed here? Because we're always trying to learn and get better. We are curious people. But to suggest like, oh, they've been behind in all these games. They technically were behind, but they weren't behind in the second half where they had to chase the game. What we're talking about is game flow. What we're talking about is situations where you would have to abandon the run, where you would have to change the way you call your offense and or your defense because you were trying to get a high variance turnover on defense. So we're going to blitz way more than we usually would because we have to take risks. And they've never been in that situation this year outside of Tampa, where they obviously did not find a way to come back. So to pretend like, oh, this Logan Paulson guy, like, what does he know? Like, I don't really understand that. And it's one thing when you're doing that to an NFL vet, and like, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, hey, we got it. You don't need to defend Logan. But the comments on our interview with Ben Solak from ESPN are, man, there's some people telling on themselves. So Solak, I've known Ben for a long time. I've known Ben since pre-pandemic at some point. I don't think it was all the way back when I was living in Dallas, but like I've known Ben for a long time and we're not like super tight or anything, but like I've talked football with Ben Solak for like half a decade at this point, where I would go on his shows and then he's been coming on mine since he blew up and went national. And you know, he and Trevor Sycamo, who's another friend of mine, a slash friend of ours, like they used to do a show way back when for some network. And then Ben went to the Ringer and now he's been hired by ESPN. And Ben has very distinctive thoughts on football. He's not afraid to give an opinion. It's part of the reason why he got his job at ESPN. But this dude studies his face off and he knows a lot of stuff and he talks to a lot of people. He's very, very smart, but he's also, you know, open to criticism. Sure. But the fact that people just don't believe him because he looks like someone out of central casting for the guys that the football player beats up instead of the football player, like, you're missing out on an opportunity to learn stuff. So, like, I actually appreciate this one from Mr. Bird 09. How do they determine what an RPO is? I've been seeing less and less each game. Also, the wide receiver screens have been reduced game by game. I don't know. I think some of these advanced stats guys are just trying to save face still. Ben referenced in the interview that they throw more screen passes than anybody else in the league, and they throw a higher percentage of RPOs than anyone else in the league. And he even says RPO charting is hard, which it is, because sometimes it's hard to tell what is an RPO, a run pass option, where the run, the handoff is live, or is it just a play action to a screen, or is it, you know, a screen that has a run action on it, and you're going the other way. So sometimes there's no real option. They just kind of try to make it all look the same, but it's predetermined. And sometimes both options are live, and that makes it hard. Some of that's easier if the offensive line is truly run blocking and the running back kind of looks back like, wait, why didn't I get the ball there? Then that was an RPO and the quarterback pulled it and threw the screen. Other times, the offensive line makes sure that they don't get caught for legal man downfield, and the run blocking isn't as real, and that was just a play-action screen. Sometimes the bubble is there for decoration on the outside to hold defenders, sometimes out on a run play, and sometimes they could have actually risen up and thrown it. And if you watch the tape and you study the box counts, assuming the quarterback makes the right decision, you can chart those things, and people do, and they're right more often than they're wrong by a lot. But because they threw it such a high percentage earlier in the year, and because they still have used them at not as high as they were, but at a still decently high percentage, then Ben's not incorrect to say they've done this stuff more than other people. And he actually talks about how he means that as a compliment because they've kept defenses off balance. And so people taking this analysis as criticism and taking it personally because it's not the same thing they're hearing from everybody else, like, to me, that's an opportunity you're missing to learn more about your team and about the game. And instead, people would rather do stuff like this. Joshua Henderson, I stopped listening to these clouds. The title is the only thing that made me click. Hey, Anthony, good job us on the clickbait. Eh? Eh?
Good stuff.
Hey, we're doing our job over here. He says, the title is the only thing that made me click. I knew from the jump once we hired Cliff, it was going to be a good day. Didn't know we'd look this good. Sat in the stands at the Arizona game chanting, "We got Kingsbury." I assume that's where the chant went. It just says, "We got Kingsbury." I added the rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you didn't know anything when they hired Cliff Kingsbury. And I say that as respectfully as I can. We all have our best guesses on this stuff. And sometimes even the most informed people are going to be wrong. There's reasons why people have been critical of Kingsbury in the past. You don't know whether he's going to adapt and adjust. Cliff did. But there's a lot of coaches that are really stubborn. And they just are determined to do things their way. Many of those coaches have coached in the past, say, 4 years in Ashburn. Or, frankly, the past 15 years in Ashburn. And, frankly, the past 25. Basically, go back to Joe Gibbs. And so, you might have had a guess that turned out to be right. But we can have the humility to say that it was a guess. There's reasons. There's only so much knowing when it comes to pro football. It's a very random game with a lot of factors. Like, you know, guys get hurt. That changes things. You know, certain influences happen in one game that affects how you adjust the next one. And there's only so much that you can know. Like, these are human beings. And so, again, Dewberry 10-11. I just want to know how many games of them he's watched. I would tell you he's watched all of them. To say bad games are coming because he's been so good, talking about Jaden, Ben Solak saying that Jaden has bad games coming because he's been so excellent so far, is such interesting logic considering their schedule is pretty weak after the Baltimore game. He has 4.4 speed, which he has been numerous times, which has been said numerous times, elevates his floor. And finally, his level of progress has been insane week to week. You can say, well, he's a rookie, so he has to regress. But nothing about his rookie season so far has been rookie-ish, if you will. Tough for me to even remotely buy what he's trying to sell. Oh, and the kicker, Ben was far from the highest guy on Jaden going into the draft. That's true. Jaden was not Ben's favorite player in the draft. That's fine. And is there probably some level of confirmation bias that Ben is seeking? Of course, he's a human being. And he talks about how the week-over-week progression is unlike anything he's ever seen. And it does make this more difficult. But I would also say, like, you're out of your mind if you think that he's going to be the best player on the field for 17 straight weeks. Mahomes has a week per year where you're like, what was that, dude? Josh Allen went 9-for-30 last week. Like, that's not a controversial statement. How many? I think reasonable people can disagree on. And then once he has some kind of regression, but like is there a chance that Jaden Daniels is just awesome from now until the end of time? Sure. Sure. CJ Stroud figured things out pretty quick. And even this year through some of Houston struggles, he's been really, really good. But the league figures guys out and then you have to adjust. Do I think Jaden will adjust? Yes. Do I have a higher belief in that than maybe Solak does? Sure. But to pretend like a rookie quarterback is going to come in and be the MVP when it's never happened in a league that's over 100 years old, like, you got to realize that, yes, it's your team, that's your guy, that's what we're all rooting for, but that is against the grain. That is against the odds. That is unlikely to happen. And saying the most basic of obvious things should not be a controversial take that results in things then where you get the fullest version of the hot take about smart people, which is you don't understand something they say, so you think it's fake. which is what David Linehat. I think it'd be funnier, Anthony, if it was David Linen Hat. What would a linen hat look like?
A linen hat?
Yeah. In my head, it's kind of it's like a Kangol shape.
Yeah.
And Kangols are not linen, but like a summer version of a Kangol.
Yeah.
Or like a short bill hat. I could see a linen something like that.
Or just have one that just comes over your head.
Or like a full sun hat.
Yeah.
I prefer straw in that situation.
Ah.
I want the Cliff Kingsbury extra large Saturn hat.
That's great aura.
Yeah.
Cliff.
I don't have that kind of swag, but I do want to prevent that kind of sunburn.
I think you pull it off.
There's only one way to find out. Cliff, can I borrow your hat? David Linehat, or Linehat, but not Linenhat, says, advanced football metrics are made up BS manufactured to create content. Points, total yards, sacks, turnovers, passing, and rushing yards are about the only stats that really matter. These guys don't even figure in garbage time stats. Advanced metrics are not invented to create content because they weren't invented by media people. They were invented by teams. And so they wanted to understand the game better, and then people come out of the teams into the media or talk to people in media, and that's how those stats get into the media. Teams have all kinds of internal things they track and data that we don't even know exists. They have their own formulas for, say, estimated, you know, EPA and things like that. Stats don't exist to provide content. They can be used to create content, and some people do it very, very poorly. I don't think Solak's one of those people, for whatever it's worth. But they are created to create context. Not content, context. Very simply, the reason you don't include directly to Linen Hat's example here, you don't include garbage time stats in some analysis because they're not actually telling of the game. If I want to know how a team plays, if I'm trying to predict what the Ravens do, I want to know how they play when the score is balanced, not when they're up by 20. Now, if I want to know how they react if they get up 20, I might look at just the garbage time stats because that's what I'm trying to figure out. So, yes, some advanced stats folks look at specifically first and second down when you're in the first half because that tells you how a team, how a coordinator wants to call a game. Not the entirety of it because their success rate on third down, how good they are at it, how good the red zone offense and defense are, their rate of committing penalties. Like there's a bunch of other things, but if you take stats in the context in which they exist, as opposed to trying to take one stat, and this is where people get in trouble, you take one stat and then say that means everything when it doesn't include the context of everything. There's only one stat that does that, points, ultimately wins and losses. And even that has its flaws in terms of trying to be predictive of what's going to happen next, then, yeah, that's not very good. But just because you don't understand something, if you get greeted with a statistic or a number or a take that you're like, wow, this person's smart. Because like people have been crushing Mina for some of the takes she had in the offseason. I don't think Mina Kimes is any less smart because I disagreed vehemently in many of the things that we disagreed upon. She has been proven wrong on about the commander specifically. I don't think she's any less smart. I would hope that she's reflective and, you know, gets better. You know, this goes like, okay, I see what I missed here. That makes my analysis better moving forward. But I don't think she's any less smart. She missed. I have bad takes. Everyone has bad takes. When you do as much talking as we do in a microphone, you're going to have takes that you miss on. But the thing is, like, do you ultimately learn from them? Are you worth listening to based off that stuff? And I just, it's disappointing to see all these comments in our comments specifically about really, really smart people who I wouldn't put on the air unless I thought they were smart and worth it because they got a few things wrong or they had a take that you disagreed with that you happen to be right on, even though it's their job and they have 1,000 other takes that they were right on that you either didn't even bother to listen to or you were wrong on and never want to talk about again. That's the end of my smart people spiel. As for where the Commanders fit in the NFL's hierarchy, some reaction to our tier rankings this week. Are the Commanders prime contenders? Jacob Kemper, 40-86. No, they still haven't beat anybody. Win this week, keep beating the teams we're supposed to, split the division. We finished 11-6 and we have a puncher's chance, but no. We're 4-1 against bad teams, 0-1 against good teams. I think that's fair. You go 1-1 against good teams, I think we're having a different conversation. Aid Smith, RB7CE, says, They're absolutely contenders because outside of week one, they haven't met that defense to stop them. And until then, they'll keep on rolling. Baltimore's very interesting. Logan and I talking through it this morning on Take Command, which you can check out now, obviously, anywhere you get your pods. He said when you watch the tape, the numbers don't really add up, which is why, by the way, you look at the numbers and watch the tape. And some of the passing stuff they've given up is because they're facing so much passing because they have been up in games. And then down to down, they've been pretty good, but they give up explosives, and now all of a sudden that changes the equation. So I think Washington, like their path to victory through Baltimore and you know, saying, oh, Baltimore won't stop them. They probably will much more close to what Cleveland did down to down. But as you saw with the explosive plays, Cleveland also gave up more points to Washington in the first half than any of these other teams that were less successful down to town because they gave up such significant chunks at once. Joseph with a good reminder as well. Joseph Boone, J2T. Right now, I would have to say yes, they're contenders, depending on what they look like at the trade deadline. And if they make any significant trades, probably determine if that's all or if it lasts all year. Remember, what is now is not necessarily what will be, and the Commanders definitely could be buyers at the deadline. All right, Anthony, some important business to wrap up at the end here. Little bit of fun.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Reaction to Mitch Tischler on the show talking about, as he calls it, rock, scissors, paper. And whether or not you go rock, paper, scissors, shoot, or it's just rock, paper, scissors. Al versus World. It's just rock, paper, scissors. You put your choice up on that. No shoot, just rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
In this case, it would be rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors. But no, I have for a long time been a rock, paper, scissors, shoot person. I feel like as a kid, I might have like...
I think as a kid, you start out rock, paper, scissors. But as you grow...
grown folks edition...
Yeah, there's rock, shoot. Paper, scissors, shoot. You got to shoot.
JC Captain Chaos says, I might be telling my age or it's an area code thing. He's a 202 guy, but there was no word shoot mentioned when I was growing up. That's new. It was just rock, paper, scissors, but you still went after scissors in silence. I hope that makes sense. Not really. If it was just rock, paper, scissors, and you go on scissors, that would I get. But if it's rock, paper, scissors, and then you throw something on the fourth one, yeah, that doesn't make no
sense. Shoot.
Right, you say shoot.
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, rock, paper, scissors, silence? Like, no. JC, you must mean the first one.
I hope so.
And then last but not least, Anthony, reaction to my push-ups from Competition Wednesday.
Uh-oh.
Mr. K. Hall, 2002, says, simply, damn. To which I responded, I said that and many other four-letter words as I was doing my 100 push-ups in two commercial breaks.
That's a lot of four-letter words you probably use over there.
For a lot of push-ups. And then Billy Solser says, my man, get that work. My respect for you just increased.
That's respect then, man. There you go. Show the guns.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. I was watching the tape back. I was proud of my form. I'll take it. I think I did a good job.
That's good stuff.
I never want to have to do it again.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to lose.
Okay.
And if I do lose, I don't want 100 push-ups.
Well, if you keep losing, then you might have to do everything.
That is true. The ice bath is waiting upon me.
Yes.
This weekend. All right. When we get back, Joe Witt Jr. is waiting upon you, the Commanders defensive coordinator. You'll hear from him and then Cliff Kingsbury in our pick six at 6:00.